This is July 14th. We are at St. Petersburg Beach, and I'm talking this morning with Edna Scott of Kansas City. Edna's better known as Scotty to most people. I'm at a little disadvantage, Scotty, because I didn't have a chance to meet you and talk to you earlier, so I don't know very much about you. Tell me about how you qualify for membership in WOSL.
Well, you see, I served. I went overseas in 1918. Mm-hmm. And then I came home a year later. I was there the latter part of 1918 and the front part of 1919. I was there a year.
What activities were you involved in at that time, Scotty?
I went over as a nurse's aide with the Red Cross. But after we spent a week in London and they had the thing straightened out, they said they needed canteen workers more than they needed nurse's aide. And would I transfer to the canteen work, which I did. And I was located at Toul, France, the entire time that I was there. And they had an enormous canteen in Toul that ran 24 hours a day. We worked in the big canteen. It was open 24 hours a day. And then the one on the railroad where all the trains stopped and the boys came off to be served. We served that too. So you were either in the big canteen or in this place which we call the Goot, G-O-U-T-T-E, Goot. And among the things that I did, of course, I made donuts. I don't know whether you've ever imagined what it would be like to make 40 quarts of flour in a tub with two dozen eggs and so much of this and that into donuts. Well, the frying equipment in Toul for donuts was not too good. The grease never got hot. But eventually the donuts were cooked and the boys loved them in spite of their poor quality. And we made salmon sandwiches. Did you ever get tired of salmon? Well, salmon sandwiches got pretty tiresome. But I'm sure those boys who came off those trains loved those salmon sandwiches and those donuts which we made. And then any spare time we had in the evening, I must say that there were, I don't know how many large hospitals in Toul, a large number of hospitals where they brought the boys back. And in the evenings, if we were not on duty in the canteen or at the Goot, they took us in a large van to these hospitals, and with any boy that was on foot, we were supposed to be friendly and dance and make them feel better because they were sick in the hospital.
Why did you use salmon? Was that because it was canned?
Canned and easy to bring over. That was right.
Did not have the canned meats that we have today.
Well, They tell me that out in the camps where they were, they used Spam and that kind of thing. But we didn't in the canteen. Ours was all salmon.
Did you serve just donuts and salmon?
That was, yeah, yes, those were our foods. Mm-hmm. And hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Coffee.
Coffee?
Yes, coffee. I didn't have anything to do with the coffee. Mm-hmm. Mine was donuts and sandwiches.
How?
Mainly donuts, because I was a country girl and I knew something about making donuts, although I'd never made them in such quantities in my life. But I was willing to go in with my hands in that tub and mix those donuts up, and get them ready to fry.
How old were you, Scotty, when you were over there?
Well, I was just graduated out of the university. I graduated in June. I volunteered then and went right on over.
And you were a Kansas girl?
I was a Missouri girl.
Oh, Missouri.
I'm a Missouri girl, yes. And I graduated Missouri University in that June. That's what I did.
What motivated you to join?
Oh, all during the my university years, everything was for the war. Everything, because you see, that was 1914 and 1915. And I stayed out of the university one half a year at home because my parents needed me. And then I went back to university and finished. But I made flags when I was in the university and sewed stars on for the Red Cross. I took a Red Cross course to learn to be a nurse's aide when I was in university. All that was in my mind, so I never got away from it. I still haven't. I've been with the Red Cross the entire time since 1918 when I volunteered to go. I'm over a 60-year member of the Red Cross.
Oh, that's grand. Now, that's something to be proud of.
I still work with them.
Wonderful. What type of thing do you do now, Scotty?
With the Red Cross? I work with the Blood Mobile and have ever since it came to our county at home. I'm on the Red Cross board for the county. And I have been, we had tornado in that area and I worked with the Red Cross taking care of those things and serving the meals and so forth. Mm-hmm. Everything that they do in our county, in our little town, I do.
What county is that?
Macon County, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And the town is Macon. Macon is the county seat. Mm-hmm.
What kind of studies did you pursue at the university?
Oh, I was going to be a school teacher, and that's the way I ended up.
Oh, you went back to
school after I came home. Well, you see, I didn't teach before I went.
No.
But after I came home, I taught, and that's where I was in Kansas City. I went straight up to Kansas City, and in that day, they were short of teachers. It wasn't hard to get a position, I tell you that. And then in 1921, I helped organize the Kansas City unit of the WSL. I'm a charter member, and the only charter member living of that unit. Mm-hmm. Which was organized in 1921. Mm-hmm. I've been a member ever since. My first convention was 1924 in Chicago. And then Louise Wells was president. That's a long time ago, I can tell you.
You've probably been an officer in some of the local chapters.
Oh, I was an officer at home. Mm-hmm. In Kansas City and everything, and then I was national officer before I became a president.
What office on the national level did you hold, Scotty?
Well, you're going to ask me something that I've probably forgotten about.
Well, that's all right.
Maybe vice president?
No.
No?
No, I was never vice president.
But you were always
you
in
see,
there working.
When we organized back there, there was nothing but World War I women. Nobody else. And because when I was president, that was before Second World War ever came.
When were you president?
37 to 39. And you see, the Second World War didn't start until 40. And so I was president before any of the girls, or I should say before most of the girls that are members now, before they ever started to serve, including you.
Certainly right. That's right.
I'm impressed with the number of World War I representatives that are attending this conference.
Yes, there are a few here. Mm-hmm. Not very many, though. Every carry-on lists, I go back and read the carry-on, the number of World War I's that pass away because, well, we're all a lot older than anybody else, you know.
I think you're one of the youngest ones here.
Well, I got over as soon as possible, see, and that made a difference.
Yes.
And the women that went over with me on the boat in 1918 were all much older than I was. Mm-hmm. Much older. And we had quite a trip over. I can tell you, we went over our mail packet. And it was like a tub bouncing back and forth on the waves. Scared to death all the time. And then they blew in my window and soaked all my clothes. Mm. We had a lot of fun.
It must have been a small ship.
Oh, just a mail packet. It was just very small.
How many people went with you? Do you remember?
I think there were just 30 of us.
Oh.
And that's all.
Had the war stopped when you went over?
It was right at the end.
What month did you go over in?
Let's see, when did they send for me? You know, I didn't think I'd ever get to go because I was way out in the middle of Missouri and a rural girl besides, and I didn't suppose that they would take me. But with the recommendations of my doctor and so forth and so on, I was young and husky, well, they took me. And I started out in September.
Well, the war didn't end until the 11th of November.
November, yes.
Well, so there was still some war scare in the water.
Well, we were scared all the way over, although it was much safer then, you know.
Did you have an escort of any kind?
I don't remember that we did. I was so seasick all the way over that I never got out of my bunk. I really didn't care if we went down. I was so seasick. That's bad. That covers it.
Well, that's a wonderful story. And you came back from that experience and taught school then?
Yes, I taught school in Kansas City. For 20 years.
When did you marry?
When did you meet this attractive man you're traveling with?
Well, we've known each other practically all our lives. We were both from the same county in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we were both in the university at the same time. But I went on and went to France and went back and taught school, and he went his way. Uh-huh. He's a farmer. He was a farmer. And so then he became a county agent, if you know what that is.
Yes.
And then after all this, we got married. 20 years we knew each other, so we shouldn't ever have any problems.
No. That's a wonderful story.
Were you in the room this morning when she presented the award that she had been given at the General Pershing Memorial down in Macon.
No.
Did you see that?
No,
and,
I didn't, dear.
It was voted by the body that she should be allowed to keep it because she was under General Pershing.
This says General John J. Pershing, 1860 to 1948, and on the back it says Pershing Memorial Museum.
Laclede, Missouri, I expect.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, that's about 45 miles from where we live, that we drove over there.
Board at the post board meeting last year voted $100 as a donation toward the museum. So Scotty and her husband took it over.
We took it over. I presented it to the museum.
Mm-hmm. The head man wasn't there when she was there. So several days or weeks later, he came and brought her that.
Well, it's beautiful.
To me, and I said, it's not mine. It belongs to the Women's Overseas Service. And I gave him our history to read so he would know something about the old Women's Overseas Service. Of course, he's a younger man, and he never heard of us. And he was so pleased that we remembered him. And then because I had met Pershing, he was real pleased.
And then the area director of your area has now placed a history at the museum.
Yes, so. Yes. Yes.
Anyhow, our voting body this morning voted that she should have that.
Well, I think you should. I noticed it immediately when I saw you this morning. It's a very impressive medallion.
You ought to get that on your...
And Herschel gave him some money, so they gave him a little one to wear on a chain around his neck.
Oh, it's the same medallion. It's
same
just
medallion,
a little
only smaller.
How did you happen to meet General Pershing?
Well, when I was a tour, he came for inspection. That was the first time. And then in 1930, when I went to the Paris Convention, which I did in 1930, he was the speaker. Mm. So
that was the WOSL convention that was held in Paris in 1930.
Two opportunities to see him. Uh-huh. He was a very... And then after we came home, I can't remember the year, but anyway, it was the first Omaha convention. We were in Omaha, and of course I went up from Kansas City, and his sisters invited the entire group to Lincoln for lunch in their home, his two sisters. They've since passed away, of course. And so we drove over from Omaha to Lincoln and had lunch in Pershing's sister's home.
Was Pershing there then?
Oh, no.
No.
No, he did not return to Missouri to retire.
No.
He did not. But you see, where he was born, that's where I went with this, is only about 45 miles from us. And then he went to school in Kirksville, which was a teacher's college at that time.
Well, that's where he got his basic education.
And that's where
he taught some. He taught in, I don't know just where, but he gives it in that, we read it at the memorial. See, they've started to, they've got this little museum, but they haven't raised all the money yet for the memorial. It hasn't been started, but that's what they're raising now. And they
haven't raised enough money yet.
But when they raise this money, then they're going to. It's going to be
the Legion is helping them a great deal. And they're going to Legion Convention, this gentleman's going to Legion Convention this fall again and ask again for help. I forget how much they had. Something over $1 million, wasn't it, Herschel, they already have?
I don't remember.
I think so. And they're wanting maybe $2 million or something to build it. We saw the location where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we were over there.
Do you remember who was the first president of WOSL that you remember?
Well, Louise Wells in Chicago when I went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know the very first one.
Mrs. Chu.
I met her later, but I didn't know her. She was president. But she was in Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Louise Wells was the president when I went to Chicago in 1924.
What do you remember about Mrs. Chu? There are very few people that would have met her and could remember her.
No.
Was she a...
She had served in England, see. But I can't remember much about her.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember
Louise.
That
was a long time ago.
Yes, I can remember what Louise looked like. That was before she married, see. She married later. And she married, her name became Louise Wells Clarkson. She's Louise Wells. She was a tall, nice looking, and we were all young then. And she had pretty brown hair. I remember her very well.
That was Louise Wells.
Louise Wells.
How many would there have been at that convention?
Oh, I have no idea how many there were of us there. They were all World War I, of course, and not too many.
You didn't have too many units.
Didn't have too many units at that time. But we were brand new in Kansas City and up and going. We've always had a very, very active unit in Kansas City until all the old gals died away.
Jane tells me you still have your uniform.
Oh, I do. I wore it Sunday at the memorial service.
Geneva wasn't here on Sunday, and I told her that you'd show her the uniform.
Yes, I'm sitting on it.
You can't can't record that though on the.
I'm saying.
But she will describe it.
Maybe someday someone will take your picture in that for me.
Oh, I have many pictures of
it. Oh, I would like that.
I think you were in Hawaii, weren't you, Scotty?
Yes.
I think I got one of you.
And last year they took a wonderful picture of me in San Francisco, or at San Mateo in this, and Mary Hill Gleason had it enlarged like this and sent it to me. It's a beautiful picture.
Wonderful.
Because it took
everything. I wonder, was it in carry-on?
Yes, there was a smaller one in carry-on, but she sent me this nice big one.
Well, it was in the San Francisco papers. So.
Yeah. Geneva is so interested in our organization that she thinks maybe next year she'd like to come to a convention out at the La Posada, because she says she's never going to catch up on all of the history that needs to be recorded.
This is lovely. This heavy cord. Brown, yeah. And almost, was it always sort of brown, black?
It's got a few moth holes in it.
I think it lasted well.
Sure, your hat, Scotty. I think that's one of the most distinctive.
My hat.
You had these lovely Red Cross pins.
This is the hat that I wore in 1918. Oh, where's my pencil? I'll put it on and show you how pretty it is.
You mess up your hair.
This is the way I fold it and keep it between times. It's just as I wore it in 1918.
Black felt hat with a 2-inch gold grain ribbon band.
That's it.
Oh, it's smart and right in style, darling.
Yeah.
It's velour.
With my uniform.
Velour.
A velour.
It is a velour.
It's velour, yes, it's velour.
When we have conventions where it's hot, like the other day,
yes, it was a little warm.
Yeah, and you wear a white shirt
with a blue tie, you see. Yeah. I wear the complete uniform, black gloves, black shoes, and a blue tie and a white shirt. And
what kind of stockings did you wear in those days?
Well, we wore long black stockings, we wore high top shoes.
Yeah.
And our skirts were down to the top of our shoes. There was no leg exposed. You weren't supposed to expose anything.
You must have been smart, because you've got this touch of blue here and you've got the number 2.
Now this 2 represented the Second Army, which was stationed at Toul. That was an enormous headquarters for men. And the Second Army was stationed there, and that was the 2 that I belonged to, the Second Army. It was there.
Oh, she's smart. She looks smart.
I'll tell you, the first convention that I saw you, the first one I ever went to, was the one at Wentworth in 1971 or sometime, when we were at Wentworth by the sea. And I remember seeing you. In fact, I think that was the thing that made me really aware of what WOSL was all about. I had been sent as a delegate, you know.
Yeah.
And I had my friend with me, and we had a marvelous time, and I was so impressed with all of our old World War I members, and many of them had their in those days.
Oh, there were so many.
And Lucy Petrie.
Oh, Lucy Petrie.
Did her dance up on the table.
Oh, do you know that she still does a little of that?
Really? She's in a nursing home.
Lee Schaefer told me the other day that she will still do a little of that.
East Side, West Side, she does.
Uh-huh, just for fun.
Jig.
She, of course, her mind has slept.
Yeah.
But she still will do a little of that for the overseas girls. She's real cute.
I sat there and wept, you know. Well, and then we sang. We were in the basement room for our reunion in the hotel, and we sang all the old songs. And I wish you could have seen all the waiters and waitresses standing in the doorway with their eyes just bugging out. Most of those kids had never heard those songs, you know.
No.
All the way to Tipperary and all those, they'd never heard any of those. We had, and then here was Petrie up on a table dancing. And Marion.
She was Marion. Quite a gal.
Oh dear, what was her name?
Salma?
No. She's gone. Well, World War I.
Oh.
Marion, and she had with her.
Oh, Marion Billings?
Marion Billings and Mary.
Mary.
Cutter.
Cutter, yeah.
She was with Marion Billings. Yeah. And, she was in a wheelchair then.
We have visited in Marion Billings' homes two or three times, Herschel and I.
I have too.
You have
yes,
too.
Yes, I heard she invited me there for lunch.
She has things she's that George Washington used and yeah. all those things.
And she's and always in the parade in the town. I can't think of the name of the town. It's in Massachusetts. That her father, her great-grandfather started.
It's not Hayfield, it's
Hatfield
is the town.
Massachusetts.
Yes.
Her father, or her relatives, were with the early people who came into
back
Cuba.
In the 1700s.
Yeah, into yeah. there, and they were unhappy because the people in that community didn't want anybody else in it. They were doing the very same thing to other people that had been done to them in England. So her father left the community and started his own community and opened it to anybody that wanted to come.
Hmm.
Hatfield, and she had a garden, and our entire luncheon was things that she grew in her garden, including raspberries.
And she raised tobacco. That was her source of income,
yes.
was tobacco.
And she was always in
tobacco.
The parade that they had.
Yeah,
many years, for many years she walked, and then she finally had
she
to buy.
She rode in the fire
engine truck. She was a delightful person.
Oh, she really
and
was.
And she and her sister, her sister was younger than she, but was very arthritic, and she took care. And all of their rugs, or their floors, were polished wood floors. It was a very early home, and with throw rugs on them, and scared me to death. But she kept warning us about it. But you should see her race around the place.
Yeah. Louisa.
That home.
That was her sister.
Yeah,
Louisa.
Those homes in that town, though, I first drove in there and kept seeing these numbers. I thought they were supposed to be a street number, but anyway, they didn't correspond. Well, I found out later that was the time that the home was built.
Like they do in Germany.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Those were the days.
You sound like you'd do it all over again.
I would.
You would.
I just told Lena Hitchcock. I said to Lena, I said, well, it's a long time back. She said, yes. I said, but I'd do it again. She said, I would too.
It's a rare time.
Yeah. Great times.
Well, that's a beautiful story. I really appreciate your giving that to us.
Well, thank you.
You know that we're going to use this for educational and historical purposes, and
yeah.
and first use will probably be for WOSL, and
well,
certainly you will
they're the ones who should get the credit.
We will always give credit to the organization and to you,
well,
Scotty.
Well, to me, it doesn't matter about me, but to the organization. Last year, that's what I did. I put on that old uniform I don't know how many times because they wanted publicity, and I said, they used me for publicity because I would put on my uniform.
Well, you're more colorful. Do you have to get a signature?
Say that.
I will send you a form, a document through the mail that just says that you release for educational and historical purposes your words today.
Okay.
And then you can sign that and send it back to me.
I will.
And then we have set it on for the tape too. So
okay, I will do
it. Because without that release, no one else would be able.